Writer Alice McDermott stands in the large wooded backyard of her home in suburban Maryland. It is late afternoon. McDermott's kids are out of school, and that means her writing day is over. McDermott, the mother, is on duty. She watches, her face a mixture of amusement and anxiety, as her three children take turns on a trampoline. The oldest, 17-year-old Will, takes huge leaps into the air. The trampoline, McDermott says, was Will's idea. He wanted it to train for skiing.
He's a skier. Are they all skiers?
Yes, all except for me.
You don't
ski. I read. I sit in the lodge and read while they all ski.
McDermott seems to have a genius, not just for writing, but for organizing and compartmentalizing her life in a way that makes her writing possible. Winner of the National Book Award in 1998 for her last novel, Charming Billy, McDermott manages to do most of her writing between 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon when she has to pick up the kids at school.
Some days I look up and I think, oh gosh, you know, it's 2:45 and it's time to get in the carpool line and, oh, what would I give for another 4 hours? But then there are other days when I am so glad that it's 2:45 and this sentence that just ain't working can be left behind for a day. You guys, you know, if we're going to go to the game tonight, you should get your homework done.
As McDermott's kids settle down to their homework, we settle down to talk about her latest book, Child of My Heart. It's a coming-of-age story, but it is also an exploration of McDermott's twin interests, taking care of people and creating works of art. The main character, Teresa, is a teenager whose beauty is rivaled only by her magical touch with children and small animals. The story takes place one summer when, as Teresa tells us in the opening passage, she had in her care 4 dogs, 3 cats, the Moran kids, Daisy, my 8-year-old cousin, and Flora, the toddler child of a local artist. McDermott says she has always been interested in writing about caretakers.
Just that sense that there are those among us who are caretakers and do it naturally and sometimes do it for a lifetime without resentment. And it seemed to me as I heard Teresa's voice that's exactly what she was, that she was naturally a caretaker, that she wanted the world to be ordered in a certain way. And this was her way of doing it, which of course is what those of us who dabble in art probably think we're doing as well. We want the world ordered in a certain way, and it's not, and we're going to take care of it.
The child of Irish Catholic working-class parents who saw their daughter's beauty as her destiny, Teresa has lived most of her life in the wealthy summer resort of East Hampton. Her parents moved there when she was a child, believing she would come in contact with people of power and wealth, and that eventually her beauty would give her access to a world they could not offer her. During this summer, her parents' dream takes an odd turn as Teresa becomes infatuated with the father of one of the children she's caring for. He's an elderly artist who's said to be something of a genius.
This is the first father of her charges, I think, who captures her imagination because of what he does. I think up until this time, the fathers who flirt with her are not terribly interesting to her. She understands that she somehow is ahead of them. And she understands that about the artist as well, in that she has youth and beauty and many more years to go when he hasn't. But I think she also recognizes that what he's attempting to do out there in his studio with his large and confusing paintings is close to what she is accomplishing in this world that she's creating for these children. And I think that's what captures her imagination.
There's a passage where she talks about his work, and you get that sense of her fascination with his work. Let me find that passage. It's on page 133, this passage, and in this, Teresa is looking at his work and describing it.
An eye, a jaw, the curve of a breast, all of it disproportionate and ugly somehow, all of it laid on with thick paint, as if he wanted there to be no doubt that he knew what he was doing, as if he wanted there to be no doubt that he could transform what might otherwise be arbitrary and unskilled into something intentional, something of value, his alone, his work. I turned to look at the other painting, which had no images at all, a blur of paint. Scribble out the world since it was not to your liking and make up a new one, something better.
I guess I had a sense that among the many things that Teresa is discovering this summer is sort of not only the power of her own beauty, but the power of creativity, and yes. That's part of what the discovery is.
Yes, yeah. And also its limitations. I guess that's the other part of it. The summer leads her, I think, to confronting, you know, what art can't do, or what determination and self-definition still can't change.
I want to ask you about the setting the whole milieu of this book, because this is a New York Irish Catholic girl, and that's where you really place pretty much all of your writing. Why is that a source for you, a sort of creative source for you, to keep returning to that place, that New York Irish Catholic world?
There are two reasons that come to mind. I mean, one is that it comes with the territory. The sense of place being New York, Long Island, which is essential to me as a writer. I need to understand the place to understand my characters. And, you know, growing up on Long Island, you grow up with that terrible bias that there are other cities in the world, but not really. No, New York is really the only authentic place. And so I think having that strong identification brings me to that place in my fiction as a way of getting at the characters. And I think the other part of it is I'm really interested in the characters, and I go to fiction because I want to know about the internal lives of these characters. And it seems to me the Catholic part of the Irish Catholic community is a way for me to get at the spiritual life of my characters, more the soul of my characters. This is the language that they use to talk about their longings, but I'm pretty sure that these are not exclusively Irish Catholic longings.
It seems to me like you're almost saying what they say the old, you know, first lesson of writing is: write what you know. I mean, it's almost like you're going back to that.
Yeah, I think so. You know, to me,
maybe that simplifies it too much.
Well, I think it does, but I read fiction for language. I read fiction for the art, for the structure. And as a writer, I'm so busy trying to get the words right, trying to get the sentences right, trying to get the structure right, trying to have one paragraph belong next to another paragraph. And the effort that I put into that makes me think, if I have to go look up what this character would eat for breakfast, I'm not going to have any time to worry about how I describe what the character eats for breakfast. So if I know that cornflakes is the answer, and if you know Irish Catholics, you know cornflakes is the answer, then I can put my energies into the thing that I go to fiction for.
Writer Alice McDermott, her new novel is Child of My Heart.